Hey guys, I am so excited for Ethos Training Systems to be the official sponsor for my podcast, Getting Zen with Gen Z. They are located at 314 West Institute Place, Chicago, and are Chicago's first sustainable strength, conditioning, and mobility group training facility. Their three main focuses are fat loss and conditioning, strength development, and injury prevention and mobility. Be sure to sign up for their new client promo at ethostrainingshy.com and make them your number one for all your training needs. Follow them on Instagram at Ethos Training Shy for awesome tips and updates. Getting Zen with Gen Z, empowering, motivating, and inspiring you to live your happiest, healthiest life. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Getting Zen with Gen Z. I'm very excited to have my guest in studio today from Tala Coffee Roasters, Keith Lilia. I didn't want to mess up his name, so we got that. But I brought Keith on today because I want to talk about coffee. I mean, I feel like as I was thinking about this, it doesn't exactly make you zen because that would kind of be the opposite if it's giving you a little bit of energy, but it does make you very happy. And I think everybody pretty much loves coffee. So it was important to me that we had an episode talking about it. So thanks, Keith, for coming on.
Yeah, so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course. And I love Tala. I feel like Tala is such a magical place. Tala Coffee Cafe is in Highwood. They opened, you just came up on a 2-year anniversary.
Yeah, so 2 years as a business total, and then almost a year. We're coming up on a year
for
at the
Highwood,
cafe.
At Highwood. Okay. So let's get into a little background. How did Tala come to be?
Yeah, so Tala is made up of myself, my good friend Ryan, and then my good friend Steph and Joanna. We're the co-owners of the business. And so how it came to be is me and Ryan were really good friends. We did CrossFit together, and that's how we kind of formed our relationship and bond. He was a franchisee of Rosati's Pizza in two different locations, and was just kind of looking to do something different and looking to get out of that. And so he had seen just sort of the uprise in specialty coffee, and I was always super interested in it, and I worked in the industry for a little while, and so I kind of just always loved specialty coffee specifically. Mm-hmm. And so the one day he had just come to me and he was like, you know, I'm trying to maybe do something different, switch it up a little bit. I don't want to be in pizza for the rest of my life and just looking for that next thing.
Switch
and I don't
coffee.
Know. Yeah. And I don't know what you think, but I would love to go into business with you. Like, I don't know if you've ever thought about that. And that's pretty much all I had ever wanted to do is just to have my own specialty coffee business and coffee roastery. So then that kind of started the long journey of just, you know, making that happen and, bringing it to life.
Wow. That's awesome.
And then once I knew that that was for sure going to happen, Stefan and Joe, I was like, I knew I cannot do it without these two good friends of mine. And like, you know, there's no way we would be able to handle it on our own and that we like needed them on board. So they jumped on board right away too.
Well, hey, as being, you know, a business owner of 12 years, I've had my spots, like definitely, you know, and it's just me, myself and I, but having like a nice crew like that and
people
you trust and that, I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You guys have that shared responsibility and you have other people to kind of lean on and have that support and decision makers. So that's
it's the best
beautiful thing.
It's the best.
Oh, and how, so you guys started though online first, right?
So we had started just as a roastery. So we have a little small warehouse space in Libertyville, Illinois. So we were just selling online wholesale accounts. Our first day of actual business, we had a little tent at a farmer's market where we were selling coffee out of the tent. So really, really humble beginnings. And we were doing that for about a year until the cafe space in Highwood came about.
So why Highwood? I mean, I love Highwood. I'm a Highwood girl. So, you know, I grew up there. I get it. But why'd you guys pick there?
So honestly, the space kind of presented itself to us. We had always had on the radar that we loved Highwood. Mm-hmm. It's just such an awesome community. People from Highwood are unapologetically from Highwood. They're not from anywhere else. You know, they're not from the North Shore. They are from Highwood.
Yes.
And just like the support of the community, and they are so focused on what's going on in their town and supporting, you know, local businesses. And so we had always seen that on the radar as being a really good spot and potential for having a cafe. But the space itself kind of presented itself to us through some really cool circumstances where we got into contact with the gentleman named Michael, who was trying to purchase the old fire station in town. He wanted a cafe of some sort in there. Mm-hmm. And that was right at the height of when we were, you know, trying to seek out a good spot for our first cafe. And it was just, we knew right away, it was just a really good match. The space is just gorgeous, and to be in such a historic building is
space.
Yeah, it's amazing. So it was kind of a no-brainer once we got to talking with Michael and kind of saw his vision for what he was trying to do. Mm-hmm. And it was just, you know, all green lights from there.
Oh, that's all. It's a gorgeous space. I mean, being in the old fire department, like, the building is just amazing. I think it just fits so well. It's like this, like, rustic vintage kind of antique, like, you just feel so, yeah. It's so warm and welcoming, and I really think magic happens in the space. And I'm just gonna, like, for just a brief pause, and I've never shared this story with you, but, and, you know, this is like a conversation for another day, but I did, you know, have a magical coffee date there back in December.
Oh my gosh. And, that's amazing. This is so great.
And my, it's so weird to say, boyfriend and I never stopped talking since. So it's a very, it holds like a very special place in my heart for many different reasons. And I get to go there with friends and family and people all the time. I just love it. It's such an awesome energy in there, but it is a very special place.
That's so great to hear. So, I love that.
Yeah. So we'll talk a little more in depth about that story. But yeah, it was like a coffee date. Like, we didn't want to have to, like, leave each other. And when he came back in town, we had to, like, reenact, like, as we were together, we had to come and have coffee at Tala and, like, walk out together. And, like, we're like, we're
together.
I guess
you get married there someday.
I mean, you never know. Who knows? Hey. So I absolutely love it. The energy's awesome. The building's awesome. You guys are awesome. So I'm not, like, a coffee connoisseur. Mm-hmm. I'd have my Starbucks, and, you know, I really went to the places I'd get coffee because of the people.
Yeah.
I think that's what's kind of important. You relate and connect with these people, and it's like, they're important. You see them every day.
Totally. Yeah.
And you just become, like, come super close with them. So I think you guys, that's like a main focus. You guys are awesome there. The staff is awesome. And you guys are super engaging, and you really do take the time to ask how everybody is, how their day is going. Like, I can tell that that's something that's important for you guys.
Yeah, 100%.
But I think just people get, you know, connected with your, you know, it's just something about coffee and people and the conversation and the space. Like, that's what people come in there for.
Yeah. And that's one of our core values as a business, is just this idea that coffee is such a connective power. Mm-hmm. And we always kind of say it lightly, but it's like kind of holds a pretty big weight. But just this idea that we're in the business of coffee, we're selling coffee, but at the heart of it, we're in the business of people.
Yes.
And so it's such a great way to sort of bring people together. And it's a really something easy that people can all kind of agree on. And just having the space to be a community center point for people to meet up, like you said, and be able to go on dates or business meetings or study or whatever it is, it's just a really great place for everyone of so many different backgrounds. You know, whatever it is that everyone can agree on something, and they can be in the same space together.
Totally.
You know, whether you're, you know, a teenager, or whether you're an 80-year-old Italian wanting your traditional, you know, espresso and biscotti, whatever it is.
I'm sure you get none of those coming in.
Oh my gosh, definitely not. But that's the best part, is that we just get to serve so many different people of all different walks of life, and that everyone can just coexist and, like, enjoy the same thing at the same time. Awesome.
It's amazing. When I walk in there, like, there's so many like teenagers that are in there too, like study time all the time. Yep. I'm like, oh my God, like this is, I wish we had this kind of space when we were younger, but
same thing.
It's amazing to see, but people of all ages, and you know, so it's incredible, but it's always busy.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you guys are.
Yeah. It's been a huge blessing to us. It's been awesome.
Awesome. So I know you want to connect, you know, coffee and people, but what is the main mission of Tala?
Yeah, so I guess that's the biggest thing, is there's a lot of great coffee in the city, whether it's in Chicago or Milwaukee, but kind of between those two areas, there's not a lot of really great quality coffee, just kind of within that area. And so we always kind of had a heart for bringing a really, really quality product to people that wanted it. So that's part of the reason why we love Highwood, is it's just one of those communities that is just looking for some place to be and for something to have. And so that's one of our big focuses, is just to bring coffee and that space and that community aspect of things to a place that wants it. We could easily like set up in a more urban, you know, kind of environment and just kind of like float along and, you know, just by the sheer volume of people be successful.
Right.
But at our heart of it, it's just more about the community and the feel of being able to provide that for people and to provide that space and just to make connections with, like you said, all different types of people.
Yeah. Well, I think it's awesome too, because I mean, it's like, Highwood, it's like good food. You have good wine. You have that Italian community. You have the Mexican community. You have so many, it's so diverse and like multicultural, and it's just so many people coming together. And I mean, you know, we do enjoy our coffee. So it's like, it's gotta be good quality, everything, you know? So I feel like that's just a, you know, perfect combination.
Yeah. It's the best. And it's been really cool to see people like, not only see our vision for all those things, but then actually like kind of make it their own, where they are like, when their family comes into town or when their friends come into town, they're like, this is our space. Like, this is ours. And it's really cool to see people like take it as their own and like really, you know, represent it well. Mm-hmm. Has just been incredible.
That's gotta be just so fulfilling to see
people
come in and have that reaction, you know, that experience there. Like, that's probably got to be worth it more than anything.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. More than anything else.
Oh, that's awesome. I love it. I love it. I could get sappy about all that stuff all day long.
Yeah, me too.
But I guess now on to the coffee.
Yeah.
Let's talk coffee. So like I said, I am not a connoisseur of coffee, but how do you guys choose, like, what is the process of the coffee industry and business? Like,
yeah,
where does it come from? How do you choose it? Like, the origin, and like, what sets you guys apart from the type of coffee you have? I don't know any of this.
Yeah. All right. So stick with me, because this is just like a really awesome topic. This is like one of the things that like, for me, is really what got me into coffee, is just understanding like the whole lineage of not only from when the coffee is grown at origin, you know, whatever, wherever it's grown, but from the time that it's grown to the time that it gets into your cup that you're drinking, is just such a ridiculous amount of like labor, amount of effort, amount of intention, and just anything at any point in that line, if something goes wrong, what you taste is not going to be good.
Okay.
So it's absolutely incredible that we can, that we can sip a cup of coffee and it be as good as it is, for as cheap as it is, for the amount of manpower and the amount of hours that goes into it.
I want to hear all about it as I'm sipping on some coffee that you brought me. Thank you so much, by the way.
This is good coffee, by the way.
Yes, it is. So this is great coffee talk right now.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah, so I guess it all starts at farm level. At origin, farmers are growing these coffees. In specialty coffee, it's kind of the top percentage of coffee. So there's commodity coffee and specialty coffee. Specialty coffee falls into that sort of top tier percentage. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot higher quality. And usually what you see is that specialty coffee is often traded and sold between importers or directly to coffee roasters.
Okay.
So in that, these farmers are doing a lot to try to ensure that their quality is going to be really, really high, because that ends up getting them the best price. So if their coffee is a little bit lower quality, it may not meet the standards of these importers of coffee roasters, and they're not going to want to buy it.
Okay.
So the better their quality is, the more
they can charge.
Exactly. So, which obviously leads to them having better lives and you know, and being able to expand their business as a coffee grower, as a coffee farmer. Mm-hmm. So we get our coffee through importers. We're not big enough just yet to be buying entire lots of coffee from farmers, because that's usually how they sell it off. They sell off their entire farm at a time, which is a ridiculous amount of coffee. So hopefully someday we'll get into that.
Hopefully, yes, I hope so.
That's it. So right now we work with a couple main importers that are really reputable, and they basically do all the, they're basically the middleman between the farmer and us. So they are the ones that are going to origin. There's opportunities for us to engage into what they're learning at farm level. So we kind of know everything about the farmer through the work of the importer. Okay. We know everything about the coffee through the work of the importer. Mm-hmm. So from there, we get basically a breakdown of all the different coffees that this that our importers have available. Because again, they have the buying power to be able to purchase, you know, massive amounts of a lot of coffee. And so we get that breakdown of what's even available. And so from there, we get really small samples just to try coffees out. So I will sample roast those coffees. Mm-hmm. And usually we get somewhere between, I would say, 5 and 15 different coffees.
Okay.
Sample roast them all up. And then we go through a process called cupping, where it's basically just tasting all these coffees back to back. And we do that blind.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's a really, really cool experience. It's sort of similar to, like, I guess the closest way you could put it is like a wine tasting of sorts.
Okay. Yeah. But a coffee tasting.
Yeah. And so it's a really pure way of just evaluating these coffees. And we do that blind so that we have no bias as to like what those coffees are. And we're purely just evaluating by taste and what we enjoy. And then if things stick out, if things are, you know, if we're really enjoying a couple of them, then we'll buy larger bags.
Okay.
And so that's kind of the way that we assure our quality, is to make sure that we're purely buying coffees that we enjoy, that we think represent our company well, that we think our customers will enjoy. Mm-hmm. And then we get those larger bags, roast them up. Bag them up, bring them into the cafe to serve, sell them online, sell them to wholesale.
Wow.
So it's just a really cool process. So at any time between when the coffee is grown to when it's shipped, to when it's roasted, to when it's prepared by myself or any of our baristas, if anything goes wrong at any point, your coffee is not going to taste good.
Okay. So wait, so you guys get it and you roast it?
Yeah. So we roast all of our own coffee.
Okay.
Yep.
What's that?
It's a thing that I think a lot of people don't really understand, right? It's like, because all you know is just the brown coffee in your cup, and that's like how it, you know, how it exists. But so coffee actually forms or is grown on a tree. The actual coffee bean is the seed of a fruit of that tree.
Okay.
So that's how it's produced. That's how it's grown. Is it's actually a small little cherry. It's a harder shell than like a traditional cherry that you think is, you know, enjoyable to eat.
Right, right.
But so they take that cherry, that fruit off of the seed, and that seed is the actual bean itself. So
wow, okay.
So when it's taken off and when it's all that stuff is removed, you're left with a very small green seed. So it's called green coffee. It's much harder. It doesn't look like any of coffee beans like you know it to be. And then so the process of roasting is basically just turning that raw green coffee product into the coffee beans that you see and know as a darker brown or, you know, shades of brown. And so through that process, you're caramelizing sugars, you're breaking down carbohydrates, and that's where it's sort of allowing flavor to happen, essentially.
Oh, wow. So do you guys, I can just envision right now, like a big, like, roasting pot or like pan of like beans, and you're just throwing them in there and
so it's
stirring them around.
It's sort of like, I guess the best way to describe it is sort of like this, sort of like bingo ball machine type thing, if you can imagine that.
So it's
a large rotating drum that has basically flames underneath that you can control, and sort of those flames are what's heating the coffee and roasting the coffee.
Okay. So it's constantly like moving,
constantly turning,
so it's not getting burned.
Exactly.
Right? Okay.
And then it takes about 10 to 13 minutes for most of our batches to roast a batch of coffee. And so it happens fairly quickly. A lot of times people think it takes like, you know, must takes hours to, you know, to roast it.
Right.
But it's a fairly quick process. So from start to finish, you know, from the time the coffee drops into that drum to the time it cools off is about maybe 13 to 15 minutes.
Oh, wow. That's quick.
It's quick.
Oh my gosh. And then you bag everything up.
Yep.
Like, and then that's how you guys then have it ready for sale.
Or sell it on the shelves, bring it to the cafe to serve. Yep.
Oh my gosh. That's awesome. So how do you, so when you get your flavors, like you select the flavors that you want.
Sure.
Do you change those out often? Like, are there certain types that are, I don't know if it's like in season or how often it changes.
Yeah, totally.
The flavor kind of palette, you know, if it goes seasonally or not, or how long you kind of keep something, or I'm sure you guys have staples that you love that you always want to have.
Yep. Yeah. So in coffee and specialty coffee specifically, coffee is very, very seasonal. I think a lot of times we understand it to be a ubiquitous product that just exists and you can get it at any time, which you can. And then specialty coffee, what you see is that there's a lot of seasonality to the coffee that is grown at that higher quantity or higher quality. So coffee kind of rotates seasonally. There are some origins in some places where they can be growing a little bit more consistently. But in most areas, you'll see sort of like they have a growing time, a harvesting time, and then there's like a little bit of lull. And then again, just into that next year in rotation.
Okay.
So for us, we're getting coffee incredibly fresh and incredibly seasonally. So just if you think about like fruits or vegetables, it's kind of the same thing where like you can't really expect to get a really amazing mango in the dead of winter, right?
Right. You're like, that might not be so good.
So for some areas with coffee, it's the same way where some Colombian, some Ethiopian coffees, they just don't exist at certain times in the year or whatever it is. So all the coffee that we're getting is very fresh, very seasonal, coming to us as that green coffee product. And then, so we're kind of just essentially limited to basically the amount that was produced and then how much we think we're going to go through. So as a green product, it's fairly shelf stable, about 6 months to a year, and it's okay.
Okay.
And then over that time, it will start to degrade. So we don't want to keep anything too long. Plus that also minimizes the opportunity for us to buy newer, fresher
coffee. For sure. Yeah. Just like anything, you probably don't want to have a huge inventory of something.
Exactly.
You know, and then it keeps it, I don't know, I think it keeps it kind of exciting and fresh to have it.
Totally.
Change up a little bit, and it is more current, obviously, with what flavors are going on in the
definitely
seasons.
Yeah, and that's what our we've kind of seen, and I think from ourselves and for our customers, like, we get excited to try new coffees. We get excited to see what's next or what the new one that we're gonna have is or whatever that is. So we do have some staples like our blends and stuff, which are made out of coffees that are a little bit more easy to be consistent with as far as seasonality. But then we highlight some single origin coffees, so coffee coming from a specific farm in a specific region, specific country. And so those I would say generally we rotate between every like maybe 2 to 4 months, I would say.
Okay.
So at the same time, you're getting some variety,
right?
Which is awesome for customers and for us because it keeps us excited about what we're doing.
That is awesome. I feel like I need to, like, you know, kind of experiment a little more and try some different things.
Or
I'll just come in next time. I'll be like, what should I be drinking today?
Yeah. So
give me whatever.
For instance, this is our El Palto. It's a coffee from Peru.
Ooh, it's very tasty.
Yeah. It's a good, like, summertime coffee. A lot of brightness.
Yeah, I like it.
A lot of sweetness.
Great for the, I'm like, it's great for this day today.
Oh, it's so awesome.
As we're overlooking the river, it's very nice.
Yeah, this is amazing up here.
Isn't it? I'm glad that it's a good day
for
you to be here as we're in the big studio today. It's awesome. So what is the difference between a light, medium, and dark roast?
Yeah, so for us at Tala, we generally roast everything to a lighter to medium profile. I would generally say that that light to medium in our books is probably going to be even a step lighter than maybe what people understand a normal light roast or normal medium roast. But more so, we kind of prefer not necessarily to, like, I guess, label a coffee as a specific level of roast. And more so, our idea and our goal is to bring out the most sweetness in coffee, which generally happens at a lighter roast.
Okay.
So all of our coffees are specifically roasted for that, just to be as sweet as possible, to bring out the most flavor as possible. Mm-hmm. So the biggest thing between, say, a light and a dark roast is light roasts have a lot more caffeine.
Okay, I was going to ask if was true. That's what I heard. Yeah, okay, that's true. That I knew, yes.
So at the lighter roast, it has more caffeine because... just because it's not being roasted as long, so that caffeine gets burned off the longer it roasts.
Yeah, okay.
So lighter roasts have more caffeine. The other difference between a light and a dark roast is light roast will generally, like I said, have more sweetness and more flavor if they're done well and properly.
Okay.
I think this is like a common myth where it's like a lighter roast is going to be weak, it's going to be watery, it's going to be like maybe vegetal, not super great, but... generally speaking, if it's done well, it mm-hmm. should be sweet and it should be more flavorful because you're having less of those things being burned off through the process.
That makes sense, though. Yeah, mm-hmm. it's like less of it. You're keeping more of that flavor together.
Exactly.
Than roasting it for yes. maybe hours where somebody thinks, and then it's going to be
yeah.
less of that. Available.
And so that's what happens, and that's what you'll see a lot of times in specialty coffee is this idea that we're trying to preserve what is inherent about each coffee, what we're paying a lot of money for. We're trying to preserve that. We're trying to preserve sort of what the farmers had in mind for their coffee specifically. And so in a way, it can seem like a disservice to take this high quality product and to roast it past the point of where you can taste
Got it,
what
yeah.
makes it what it is. Mm-hmm. So I kind of often will... I guess gently put it in a way of like, if you think about steaks, so
yes.
some people love their steaks well done. Mm-hmm. And that is amazing. You eat your steak exactly how you want. I am not going to tell you how to eat your steak or how to drink your coffee, but it's like taking this amazing, amazing steak, this filet mignon that you right. paid a lot of money for.
Beautiful.
And just, yeah, just scorching it so badly and it's crispy and it's so well done. You might as well just bought
no flavor there.
Exactly. Yeah. Just buy a cheaper steak and
right.
enjoy it as you will.
You can enjoy that flavor
yeah.
that's there in that quality product.
Yes. Basically. So that's what happens. Same kind of idea in coffee. So the longer you roast it, the less the inherent goodness of that coffee
okay.
is left.
Wow. It's such like a science. Oh. I mean, it really, it's an art.
And that's the coolest thing. That's what I like about it too. And especially from being on the roasting level
mm-hmm.
side of things, like is there's such a science and you have to understand the science behind it and what's actually happening when
right.
you're roasting, but there is this artistry to it. And so it's combining what you know scientifically and then also the artistry side of it. And I think in order to do it well, you have to be sort of like mixing and blending mm-hmm. both the science and the art to it.
I would love to like see this
yeah.
process one day.
Yeah. Anytime. Like, come on
is
by.
Is that possible?
I
that
roast
would be
Monday
awesome.
And Friday. Libertyville, Illinois.
Okay.
Monday and Friday.
Oh, Monday's on my off day. I might have to come out there and check it
come
out.
Come by for a tour.
Yes. Oh, that'd be so awesome. So this is an important question is moving on. I mean,
yeah.
that's pretty much, I feel like that's a good amount of the process.
Yeah.
How much coffee do you drink a day?
Oh, man. That's a great question.
That's what I want to know.
I feel like I drink probably a bit of coffee. Probably quite
a
bit.
A little bit.
I would say, oh, man. It's really hard because I like to stay on that even level of caffeination, right? Just a flat line. I don't like to be, up and down,
right.
having dips and then
mm-hmm.
super highs. So I try to space it out. I just think I generally have... smaller amounts more consistently through the day
okay.
as opposed to having like a large like 30 ounce cup of coffee in the morning just to get it going.
Uh-huh.
So I'll drink maybe like 8 to 10 ounces of coffee, whether it's cold brew or hot coffee, maybe an espresso here or there.
I would say it up.
Yeah. And you got to keep it on that, that straight line. So I would say probably like, I don't know, maybe like 30 ounces,
okay,
40 ounces
okay.
a day,
I was like,
maybe.
Wait,
I don't
cups?
Know.
Oh, boy.
No, that's not 30 cups.
Okay. That's not, that's yeah. really not too bad.
Yeah. And that's like, from 6 a.m. to maybe like, I try to cut it off at like 2.
Okay. Yep. Yep. I usually won't go past like 3.
Yeah.
Although sometimes, you go to dinner.
Never
I mean,
know.
It's not as high quality, I'm sure, but you have that espresso
yeah.
or like cup of coffee
yeah.
after a nice meal.
Yeah, when in Rome.
I feel like I can go to sleep just fine.
Yeah. I feel like it affects me a little bit, even after drinking, you know, so many cups of coffee. I feel like it still does affect me a little bit in the evening, but I think it's a worthy cause.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's amazing. It's a thing of enjoyment. Like, that's the thing. You know, it makes people happy. Like, coffee, there's nothing like sitting down with a nice cup of coffee.
It's the best.
It's the best thing ever to start your day with, to have like an afternoon conversation, whatever it may be. And I'm the type of person, like, I don't care how hot it gets in the summer, I'm having a hot cup of coffee.
Totally.
I'm not, you know, I mean, you know, iced coffee is great. I think people make fun of me, but I hate having like the plastic cups and the water on the sides from the ice and the
condensation.
I can't stand it. And that is what deters me from having iced coffee.
Got to get one of those insulated cups.
Yes, for
sure. One of those.
But what is the I want to talk about a little bit how, like, different ways that I was looking on your website, which is beautiful.
Thank you.
But different ways that you can brew your own coffee.
Yeah.
And also, like, the differences between cold brew, hot.
Yeah.
Like, what makes those things special?
Totally. Different. Yeah. So I would generally say that coffee brewing falls into like three main categories. Mm-hmm. There would be what's called like full immersion brewing, which is similar to like a French press, where the coffee is steeping with water.
Okay.
And then you pour it out.
Right.
So full immersion, the grounds are being saturated and steeping, like if you think of almost like tea, it's kind of the same process.
Yeah. I have like one of those like Italian, like, you know what I'm talking about. The screw on the water. Goes grinds.
Yeah. The one that goes on the stove.
On the stove. Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
So that would technically be sort of it's like, I guess that one's kind of like a weird hybrid, but sort of like a full immersion brewing coffee is steeping together with water. And then the other category would be, like essentially like your pour overs, your drip coffees, where coffee is, you know, in a vessel of some sort, usually with a filter, and water is coming down over those grounds, but then it's actually dripping through. Okay. So that's the main difference, is whether the coffee's steeping together or where it's actively being, you know, drained
over
through a filter. So that's your standard Mr. Coffee brewer at home. That's pour overs, if you've seen them at cafes like that. That's kind of where that falls into. And then you have espresso. So espresso is one of my best friends. I absolutely love it.
Espresso.
Yeah, there's a lot of myths, I think, behind espresso, where people will see espresso roast or espresso blends and they're like, oh, I can't get that coffee because I don't have an espresso machine. I can't make espresso. But the cool thing about espresso or espresso blends or whatever it may be is that those, it's just normal coffee. There's nothing special about those coffee beans. It's just usually a blend of coffees or a specific coffee that people think, or the roasters will think, is a good coffee to make espresso with. So espresso technically is a brewing method rather than a type of bean. So espresso blends can be light, they can be medium, they can be dark, they can be made out of coffees from Colombia. Like, literally there's nothing different about the coffee, it's just how it's prepared. So it's more a preparation method rather than a actual type.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Well, and so how is it prepared? How is it so different? Because usually when we have espresso, it's a small, like a smaller amount.
Yeah. So espresso is the main difference in that equation of brewing, is just the fact that there's pressure being applied. So it's a very small amount of coffee. If you've seen people tamping coffee, it's to create a really flat surface and to really pack those grounds tightly, because they're, the espresso machine puts an incredible amount of pressure to extract that coffee well.
Okay.
So the difference, and you get that maybe like ounce or 2 ounces of espresso, technically it's the same amount of caffeine as your, say, 12 ounce cup of coffee. So I always kind of, it's a really good analogy, but just this, the notion that espresso is kind of like vodka, as where a cup of coffee is like a beer.
Right.
Same amount of alcohol, same amount of caffeine.
Yeah. It's just like a shot of it.
Yes. So it's just in a much more, condensed, you know, amount.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Awesome. I know, I've been enjoying a little more espresso lately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And same thing there. If it's done well, if it's good quality coffee, I think a lot of times people have the notion that espresso is like this bitter, like you got to choke it down and, you know, you got to gear up for it. But if it's done well, it should be very enjoyable, very sweet.
Right.
And shouldn't be all that.
Oh.
all that nastiness.
Well, that's good. That's a really good analogy. First of all, but just understanding that it is like a right, it's really more so the process of what makes it
exactly
espresso, and it's not really different than anything else.
Yep. So you could take that coffee. Espresso blend or espresso and make it in your Mr. Coffee at home, and it's going to be delicious.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. That's great to know. See you.
There you go.
Something new every day. That's awesome. So of course, you know, I love jujitsu. That's what I'm going to say. Jujitsu is on my mind, but coffee is like my energy shot, like my boost. Like that's what I, you know, rely on before I train.
Yeah. That's my pre-workout.
You know, it gives me, it's the best pre-workout ever. And you know, I know there's some people who are a little sensitive to caffeine.
Sure.
So they might have to go for decaf options, which let's touch on that for a second.
Sure.
How do you really make coffee decaf?
Yeah, so same thing there. It's kind of the same idea where decaf coffee starts as a regular coffee bean, regular coffee cherry. It's grown in the same tree. There's nothing different about it in the farming process. So the process in which they get all the caffeine out of the bean, or even in decaf, there is a slight residual amount of caffeine. It's hard to get it completely out, but it's
a lot. It's lower.
Negligible. Yeah. And so the process takes a regular coffee bean, and there's a lot of different ways to do it, but in specialty coffee specifically, and generally what you'll see in that, and then for us is, specifically, is those the process involves basically putting a large amount of those coffee beans in basically in a tub of water.
Okay.
What that does is it swells the coffee bean up, and then usually there's some sort of solute to go into that water that basically will chemically switch places with the caffeine.
Okay.
So it sounds crazy, and again, a lot of science, but the decaf that we have, the chemical that, or not chemical, but it's a naturally forming alcohol that's formed from fermented sugarcane. It's crazy. Goes into that water and switches places with the caffeine in the bean. So it's a completely natural process. And a lot of times, I think with decaf, people think decaf is like disgusting and it doesn't taste good, and you can't like coffee and enjoy decaf at the same time.
Oh yeah, there's a big, I feel like people are like, coffee lovers are like, what's even the point?
Yeah.
Why are you drinking? I mean, my mom can't have caffeine, so she drinks decaf. You know, but it is like, well, it's like, that's the point of the coffee. But I can see you still want to enjoy a nice, that's the flavor, like a warm, you know, wonderful cup of coffee, and enjoy the flavors that it has to offer.
And some like in old times, that process, there was chemicals that were pumped into the coffee to trade places with the caffeine. And so those nasty chemicals basically would zap the good flavors of the coffee bean. But now in specialty coffee specifically, you're seeing a lot of natural processes like this one that we have that basically leave all the good flavor intact, so it actually tastes like a good cup of coffee, and
you
can actually enjoy it. Yes, we get a lot of people that are like, hey, I asked for decaf. I'm like, yeah, it's the best cup of decaf.
Right. The best cup of decaf you'll ever have.
Yeah.
Because I was going to ask that, like, I feel like I always heard, you know, you always hear different things, but that decaf was actually worse for you to drink because of the chemical process that it went through.
Exactly. Yep.
But that is, especially hopefully in specialty coffee, that's not really the case.
And a lot of times, like, so now because there is that notion, and because there is that like kind of like held idea about it, again, as a specialty coffee roaster, like, we want to provide our customers with the best possible, you know, thing that they can, that they can have, whether it's decaf or whether it's regular. And so just to be able to provide that is huge. And so most specialty coffee roasters will, like, if they have a naturally chemically free processed decaf, usually you'll see that on the label pretty apparently, because we want people to know that you're getting the best.
That's that good quality right there.
Yep.
And along with that, so the decaf, other options you guys have, some teas as well.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's like coffee and tea kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah, totally.
Pretty much.
I think that's the, I think just in a, from in the cafe, we understand that some people don't like the taste of coffee, or maybe they just don't want the caffeine, or, you know, don't care to have decaf. And so tea is just another great way to, like, again, be able to provide a like a quality product to customers, whether they like coffee or not. Mm-hmm. Again, our goal is to get people, you know, loving our brand and to love our space and to connect with each other in that. So we want to provide options for people that, you know, could care less about coffee and maybe never want, you know, never want to drink
right.
it at all.
They just want their tea. They want to sip on their tea. You know, it's tea time. That's great to have that option.
Yeah.
I heard you guys have a really good, is it like a, I'm going to mess this up, a green tea, is it?
Like a matcha?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Latte?
Yeah.
Right?
The matcha latte is ever popular. It is delicious.
I've never tried it. I think it's actually Henri that told me that I have to have it.
yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, it always looks good. And of course, like, so I never really drink lattes, and I would just have my, you know, straight coffee, and usually with almond milk, until now I have tasted oat milk, which something I never knew about. So you guys do have all those alternatives, dairy alternatives, dairy-free alternatives. But, you know, a lot, there's nothing like having a big cup, a nice big cup of coffee with the latte. I love like the designs you guys do in the fill and the foam on the top, but having the oat milk lattes has been incredible.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have, I'm very big on like not having a lot of sugar, excess sugar, and it's very low in sugar.
Yeah, very low in sugar, just naturally super sweet and really creamy.
It's very creamy.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my gosh, my world just like got so much better. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I think it was Aaron that turned me onto it. I had seen
Shout
it on the menu,
Aaron.
And I was like, what is this? What is this oat?
Yeah.
Like, what is this product?
It's delicious.
So good. So good. But no, I'll definitely have to try some of the tea options as well. Because, like I said, I'm all about, you know, just the caffeine as a wonderful pre-workout. And I think, too, we should talk about some of the health benefits. So as I was on the train in this morning, I'm like, I know, and I've talked to my doctor, too, and she's like, you're good. Like, you can have your straight, you know, coffee. Like, it's obviously when people, I think, put a lot of other things in it, like sugars and different milks and stuff like that, where the calories can start adding up.
Yep.
And, you know, there's, it's not really about the coffee then, I think. But I found an article on Healthline, 13 health benefits of coffee. And I'll go through these super quick, but I think they're very important to know.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Pro coffee. Here we go.
Pro coffee, for sure.
Number one, it can improve your energy levels and make you smarter.
Yes, it can.
Yes, it can. Number two, can help you burn fat. That's pretty amazing. Three, can drastically improve physical performance. I think we know that as we're both in that world.
Oh, yeah.
Because you are a personal trainer as well.
Yeah, I used to coach CrossFit for a while.
Nice. See, there you go. CrossFit, jiu-jitsu, amazing. I always have to bring jiu-jitsu into a podcast. So
got to.
That's fine, of course. Number four, contains essential nutrients. So there's lots of B vitamins, potassium, magnesium. So that's pretty awesome. Number five, may lower your risk of type 2 diabetes.
Who doesn't want that?
So, I mean, come on. Six, may protect you from Alzheimer's disease and dementia. That's huge right there.
Yeah.
I think people need to know these things. Seven, may lower your risk of Parkinson's. Eight, it may protect your liver. That's a huge plus.
Yeah.
Nine, this is a big one, can fight depression and make you happier, which is the whole reason we're talking about coffee.
This is
it
perfect.
Makes you happy. It makes you zen.
Scientifically proven. So,
yep. Number 10, may lower risk of certain types of cancer. 11, doesn't cause heart disease and may lower stroke risk. And final, number 12, may help you live longer. That's pretty amazing.
I'm going to be 100.
Several observational studies indicate that coffee drinkers have a lower risk of death. I mean, come on now.
That's amazing. Cheers to that, right?
Cheers to that. That is awesome. Oh my God, I love it. So how do you tell people, I mean, I'm sure you want people to enjoy coffee any way they want, but do you think drinking it black is probably the best way to enjoy it?
I mean, I think from like a health perspective, it certainly is. But kind of our biggest thing is like, we don't want to tell people, like, again, just like I said about the steaks, like
how to enjoy
it. Yeah. You're going to enjoy your coffee the way you're going to enjoy it. And like, who am I to tell you how you should be enjoying it? I can, you know, maybe educate you as to like why I think drinking it black is the best, because you get the most flavor of the, you know, natural inherent coffee itself. I think one kind of, you know, myth to debunk too is a lot of times people think they need that cream and sugar. And a lot of times what we've found is that people are used to drinking a little bit lower quality, maybe, or just darker roasted coffees that are naturally really bitter.
Right.
And you need that, so that cream and sugar to sweeten
there.
It up.
Yep.
Yeah.
So like, what is this?
Yeah. So a lot of times we're like, hey, you know, like we have some cream and sugar right over there, but just like, you know, give it
take a
chance.
Sip first.
Yeah. Take a sip. And a lot of times, like I would say maybe like 75% of the time, people are like, wow, that's cool. I didn't know it could be that sweet, or like it could have that much flavor. Like, I don't even feel like I need it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
At the same time, like, you know, we're not going to tell people how they should drink their coffee. As long as they're drinking our coffee, we don't really care.
You're like, just enjoy ours. Yeah. It's fine. Yeah. Any way you want it.
That's it.
And I mean, I would just, you know, one little like tidbit that I would just make people aware of is, you know, having a lot of caffeine can dehydrate you a little bit. So make sure that you are alternating with water, you know, getting a lot of water, just to stay hydrated, because, you know, caffeine can dehydrate. So you kind of need to drink a little bit more than you would normally think without that caffeinated beverage. So,
yeah, if you ever see us at the cafe, you'll notice usually a coffee cup and a glass of water right behind it with any of our employees, any of our baristas. We all are making sure that that's the case, because it's really easy to overdo it, especially when you're at work in a coffee shop.
Definitely. It's quick to be like, let me refill that coffee, but definitely just stay hydrated, people.
Drink that water.
Drink that water. So do you guys have any events or anything coming up?
So we're, for the summer, we're trying to get in this rhythm of doing a cupping once a month at our location in Highwood.
Really?
So it's, we love the community. We want to bring the community into what we're doing and to sort of provide that experience and education.
That's so fun.
Yeah. So that's the one thing that we have in the works. We'll be releasing that. We're on social media, Facebook and Instagram. You can kind of just check that out, and we usually keep all the updates on there. So we have that coming up. We usually try to do, or have done in the past, like a couple open mic nights. We, as owners, love board games and card games. So we've done, and we're planning to do more game nights where people come and play games, just to give people a space to, you know, space and time to do that. And I think that's all that I can think
that's
of right
incredible.
Now.
Incredible.
Yeah.
So that's a good kind of segue into, where can people find you on social media?
Yeah. So we're on Facebook, TalaCoffeeRoasters.com. It's TALA. And we're on Instagram as well. So those are our big two.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then on the website, I was noticing, so you do have the wholesale options on there, and then there's a subscription.
Yep.
What does that entail?
Well, first of all, it's amazing. Maybe a little biased.
You want to get in on that, basically.
Yeah. But. So our subscription program is super cool and unique, I think, in the industry, like as a whole, because we just really allow for the customer to custom tailor exactly the amount and the frequency that they need. So a lot of times with a lot of subscription services through roasters is you get, like, you pay once a month and you get one bag a month, or maybe, you know, you get one bag every 2 weeks or whatever.
Yeah.
So we've kind of designed it, and it's a lot of work on our back end, but it's a better experience because we allow customers to pick either a 12-ounce, 2-pound, or 5-pound bag.
Okay.
And then you can also select how often you want it. So whether it's once a week, twice a month, or once a month. So
oh,
you can
awesome.
Really kind of, like, if you know, like, oh, I'm going through a bag every 2 weeks, you can do that. If you know, like, I need a little bit more every 2 weeks, then you can do that as well. So that's a really cool and easy way. And you actually get a little discount too. And it just shows up to your door every Saturday. We send everything out fresh on Fridays.
Wow.
So you have your coffee for the rest of the weekend.
That's awesome. Saturday morning. Wake up with some coffee. What better way?
That's it.
That's pretty smart.
Yeah.
And then you guys do have a blog.
Yeah. Yeah. So we just, again, we love the idea of being able to educate our customers about, you know, all the different areas about coffee, things that are kind of on our hearts about the industry, about our product, about ourselves. On our blog post, we have some fun, like, little recipes that involve coffee.
That's awesome.
I think our most recent one, we did a little pop-up with REI and showed how to brew coffee like in the wilderness using like camp gear.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
Yeah, so
I love it.
So yeah, so we try to keep people educated and just, you know, stir some excitement around anything coffee.
Well, it's great. I mean, you can see, honestly, you can tell when people are passionate about things.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You guys are all very passionate about coffee and just creating that amazing atmosphere. And I think being able to educate people too, like, you know, people get so interested and are fascinated. And that's why I was so important. Like, I wanted to have somebody on talking about coffee. And when I met you guys initially, and it took a long time for this to happen and me just, you know, reaching out and putting it together. But I was like, it has to be you guys.
Yeah.
Like, you have to, you know, you have to come on just because you guys really, you can tell how passionate you are. And it's just, like I said, it's such a magical place and environment, and just learning the whole process about everything. We can take our morning cup of coffee for granted.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it takes a lot to produce that.
Totally.
So for people to understand that, I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So.
And it's been just like amazing to have that opportunity to provide that. And, just that we have customers like yourself that like can see that intention and see that passion.
Oh, yeah. Because
it's easy for us to be like, oh my gosh, like we love our coffee. But then if no one else enjoys it, if no one else enjoys our space or whatever it is, you're like, okay, what are we doing this for? But to like see people, again, like I said, like really take it as their own and just like really see that intention and passion is like what makes it all worth it. And it like, you know, fuels our every day.
It's so fulfilling. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm so happy and excited for you guys.
Thanks.
And I just wish you so much success in the future. And you know, you'll be seeing me there all the time.
Yeah, definitely.
So just a reminder one more time, what is the website?
So our website is TalaCoffeeRoasters.com.
Perfect.
And again, T-A-L-A is Tala. And then Facebook and Instagram.
Okay, awesome. And then you have your cafe in Highwood. What is the address?
So it is 428 Green Bay Avenue. Old fire station. You can't miss it.
It's amazing. Right next to the rec center.
Yeah.
It's awesome. I just want to thank you again so much for taking the time out to get here today and share all of this information. I just, you know, coffee is such a wonderful thing that makes everyone happy. So
yeah, it is indeed.
It definitely is. So thank you again so much.
Yeah, thank you.
And for all of you listeners out there, any topics or guests that you want to hear me have on my show, go ahead and send me a message on my Facebook page at Gen Z or on Instagram at JZ Beauty and the Beast. And I appreciate all your guys's love and support. If you can send me any 5-star reviews my way, that would be awesome. I appreciate it. And thank you guys so much. I'll see you next week. Bye.